I'm Dave Cawley, investigative journalist and host of the podcast, Cold. Don't miss Cold's new Season 3, where I look into the unsolved disappearance of Cherie Warren, a woman last seen leaving her job at a Salt Lake City office in 1985. Police cast suspicion on Cherie's estranged husband and boyfriend, but never made any arrests or recovered Cherie's remains. Find Cold Season 3, The Search for Cherie, anywhere you get your podcasts.
Dave and Dejanovic, a new conversation.
All right, here we go.
On KSL News Radio, 102.7 FM and 1160 AM.
We've been reporting for at least an hour now about the closure of 7th East between 7th South and 8th South on the east side of downtown Salt Lake City. I can see there's microphones set up. Looks like the Salt Lake City Police Department getting ready to hold a news briefing any moment. The moment that happens, we'll go there live. There's been a large police presence there for at least an hour and a half now, and we still don't have confirmed exactly what's happening. But as soon as we know, you'll know.
KSL's top national story, special coverage with Dave and Dejanovic.
Let's turn to the big national news story everybody's talking about, the January 6th committee holding that surprise hearing with a White House staffer giving behind-the-scenes accounts of what was going on.
We always say, wouldn't you love to be a fly on the wall? This is what it was. Her name is Cassidy Hutchinson, and her testimony was shocking.
I was in the vicinity of a conversation where I overheard the president say something to the effect of, you know, I don't effing care that they have weapons. They're not here to hurt me. Take the effing mags away. Let my people in. They can march to the Capitol from here.
The mags were those metal detectors. That's a short for metal detectors. And for those protesters who did not go through the mags.
That did go through the mags.
They were confiscating, you know, the pepper spray, the knives, the brass knuckles, tasers, body armor, gas masks, batons.
How do you walk through the metal detectors? Like, you're still got the knives and the brass knuckles. You're like, there's no way they confiscate these.
So, first of all, when I saw her testifying yesterday, I was just surprised that you could be so young. I think she was probably early 20s when she had the job.
Yeah, 24 at the time, I believe.
Yeah, that you could hold seemingly such an important position within the White House. But then I thought, well, it's a good thing because when I was listening to her testimony, it seems like she was the only adult in the room.
They're literally calling for the vice president to be effing hung. And Mark had responded something to the effect of, "You heard him, Pat. He thinks Mike deserves it. He doesn't think they're doing anything wrong." To which Pat said something, "This is effing crazy. We need to be doing something more." Briefly stepped into Mark's office. And when Mark had said something, when Mark had said something to the effect of, "He doesn't think they're doing anything wrong," knowing what I had heard briefly in the dining room, coupled with Pat discussing the hang Mike Pence chance in the lobby of our office, and then Mark's response, I understood there to be the rioters in the Capitol that were chanting for the vice president to be hung.
Justin Finch joins us right now, ABC News correspondent in Washington. Now, Hutchinson had been interviewed many times by the committee, pre-recorded. Why did they bring her in live to testify?
We know a lot of things kind of changed with Cassidy Hutchinson kind of in the run-up to Tuesday's hearing. Chief among them, a change in representation. She's being represented now by a lawyer named Jody Hunt, who was a lawyer in the Department of Justice under Jeff Sessions when he was Attorney General. So you may can draw from that this is a lawyer who understands how the system works, if you will, in a situation like this. That appears to be the major change in from her tape depositions up until this point. But as you guys were saying, this was really a watershed moment for the committee in trying to really do their best to bring the panel itself, as well as the country, into those rooms in the run-up to January 6th. What the upper management, if you will, in the Trump White House was thinking, doing, based on her testimony, it paints a picture of an administration that was well aware of the potential for violence in the lead up to and on the day of that January 6th Stop the Steal rally that eventually made its way to the Capitol.
She gave many behind the scenes details. One thing that was especially shocking was that apparently the president's cabinet, according to Hutchinson, was discussing invoking the 25th Amendment to remove the president from office. Let me
play. What I understood at the time and from what the reports were coming in, there's a large concern of the 25th Amendment potentially being invoked, and there were concerns about what would happen in the Senate if the 25th was invoked.
What is the former president, what's his reaction been to Hutchinson?
Well, much of his reaction has been siloed on the Truth Social platform that he backs, and I suppose you can say it was a Truth Social storm of posts about Kathy Hutchinson, saying he hardly knows who she is, calling her bad news, and the former president really honing in on one anecdote that involves his reported assault of a Secret Service agent who would not take him to the Capitol. After that Stop the Steal rally that he somehow lunged at him. And that's a story that Trump says is sick and fraudulent and untrue. As he also says, her story of throwing the lunch against the wall is also untrue. But what is not so much denied are some of the more heavy allegations that he wanted the crowds to surround him, armed or not, that he was aware that armed crowds were going to go to the Capitol where the electoral count was happening with members of Congress in session. So it's interesting that he is honing in on more of those character details and not some of the stronger allegations in her testimony.
Justin, before we let you go, has there been any denial on his part that you've seen, that you're aware of, that he wanted to go to the Capitol? Because when I listened to her testimony, I'm sure, you know, whenever you listen, it seemed as though that's what she was testifying, that the president wanted to join the mob. Has he denied that part?
I have not seen anything firmly saying, no, I didn't want to do that. I mean, his mentioning the story about the Secret Service agent, he doesn't deny what he wanted to happen, which was to take him to the Capitol. He just denies that he didn't grab the steering wheel. So again, you're seeing him kind of like avoid the bigger thing and go for the smaller thing in his responses to that testimony.
Justin Finch, ABC News correspondent out of Washington. Thank you so much for joining
us. Thank you.
I think the big question is, will any of this lead up to criminal charges? Let's bring on somebody who worked for the Department of Justice for a very long time, former U.S. Attorney John Huber. He was a U.S. attorney, served under President Trump. Okay, so let's keep that in mind. So we're going to get him to weigh in. Does he believe anything that what he's heard so far could possibly give way to criminal charges?
Dave and Dujanovic.
Start your mornings productively with important updates on breaking news,
traffic, and reliable weather.
You'll get it all on KSL from 5 to 9 with Tim and Amanda.
Utah's morning companions for news.
This week, we take the next step towards control of Congress. Do Democrats hold, or do voters give Republicans a new majority? Today, be sure to listen for Utah's congressional results and stay updated all this week. It's Decision 2022 on KSL News Radio, Utah's all-day companion for news. Dave and Dujanovic. KSL's top national story, special coverage with Dave and Dujanovic.
We're going to talk about legal jeopardy right now. Is there any? There's been a series of January 6th hearings back in D.C. Seems like they're telling a story about January 6th, but we don't know if that story is going to result in any sort of criminal charges. So we thought we'd bring on former U.S. Attorney John Huber. He worked for the Department of Justice for a lot of years, was actually appointed by President Trump.
Yeah, which I find fascinating. And as we've seen this play out, the January 6th committee hearings, I've learned a lot. I kind of wish I hadn't learned all of this stuff because it's pretty awful in a lot of cases. But the question remains, okay, well, this is informational. I think this gives me great insight into what was going on in the White House. Will it lead to charges? John Huber, as you said, joins us right now, former attorney for the District of Utah. John, when these hearings started, I was kind of expecting the usual congressional circus and grandstanding. What have you seen?
You know, I was as well, Dave. I was actually pleasantly surprised to see how disciplined these hearings are. They're tightly scripted and professional. And whereas in so many other congressional hearings that are so hard to watch, it's like pulling your fingernails out to watch these hearings. This is not that experience.
John, stand by for a moment. We've got breaking news out of Salt Lake City, where there's been a large police presence most of the morning at 7th East, between 7th South and 8th South. Sergeant Melody Cutler with Unified Police Department now at the microphone explaining what is going on. Let's go there live.
In a vehicle shooting out the window. And also received a call from that house on Longmore. The individual that lives there believed they knew who this individual was. That our victim owns the yoga studio where we've ended up here at this place. What we know at this point is that our suspect was once a member of this yoga studio, became aggressive with some of the members and the employees, and he was asked to no longer come back. And that's when all of this unfolded today. Following these shots fired, he did show up at the yoga studio. People inside called the owner and notified him that he was here. Salt Lake City also received multiple calls that there was an individual who was out with a gun and possibly at this location. Salt Lake City responded to this location where they located the male in the vehicle and was able to take him into custody. Prior to that occurring, we know that he went inside of the yoga studio where there was a physical altercation with one of the employees. That employee received minor injuries and he will be fine. Suspect is in custody and we are currently investigating right now. We have an ongoing investigation with our detectives who have just responded.
So nobody hit, nobody shot, as far as you know.
Right. As far as we know, there's been no reported injuries from those shots fired.
That there was a victim in the yoga studio. Was that the person who was involved in the physical altercation?
Yes.
This suspect known to you guys? Is this someone that I know it's early yet, but anyone you've dealt with in the past? Or?
I don't know that.
Was there a hostage situation inside the yoga studio?
We initially believed that that might be the case, but he did come out of the yoga studio and he was in his car when Salt Lake City got here.
Three scenes, at least two of which involve shots fired.
We have four scenes. So we have the house on Longmont, the Chevron on Wasatch Boulevard, the Macy's on 45th, and then the yoga studio.
Did you recover the weapon?
Not at this time. So we'll wait for our detectives, and they'll be the ones that will go ahead and get into that vehicle and see what they can find there. We also know that he lives by, and their intent is to write a search warrant for his home. I don't know. I don't know him, so I couldn't answer that question for you at this time. That I don't know. I can defer to... She can tell you. I don't know.
One person.
Yes, one individual.
Is there any connection to this apartment building on the corner where a lot of police were around this way?
Big white
building. Oh, the big studio. White one? Yeah, this is where the yoga studio is. This is this white house back here. Yeah.
It wasn't the building of that down the street where there's another yoga studio?
No, it's this white one right there.
Oh, okay.
Okay.
But not this apartment building?
No.
Okay.
Do you know if he was demanding anything out of the people at the yoga studio? Just that? Was there anything specific that you can tell us?
Nope, nothing that... specific that we have at this point, and that will come as the detectives do their interviews with these individuals. Yeah, no pursuit. He just ended up here at the yoga studio, and then all the calls started coming in that this is where he was. I know of Unified Police, Salt Lake City Police, and Utah Highway Patrol.
So we've had three police departments over four different scenes.
What time he was taken in custody?
It sounds like there was a gas station involved in this at one point along Wasatch Boulevard. Then it ends up somehow at this yoga studio near 7th East, about 7th South, 8th South in that area, where a member had been apparently at one point asked to leave. for whatever reason. I don't know if we have all the details yet. And then returns where there's a physical altercation. Along the way, it seems as though there were some shots fired, although just kind of trying to pick up on all these details, I think we're still trying to sort through exactly what went down, when, and why.
Yeah, and that physical altercation seemed to be with an employee at the yoga studio, sustained some injuries, they said was minor. It didn't appear to be the result of the gunshots that we've heard rumors of or that they referenced. Don't know exactly what and when those gunshots happened. They haven't recovered a gun. It sounded like they were trying to find a search warrant for his house. But this is all kind of unfolding. But really, it sounds like a scary and dangerous moment here that is unfolding.
Police saying that it was not a hostage situation. We weren't 100% sure what we had on our hands out there this morning as new details were coming in to Broadcast House. But they're saying it was not a hostage situation, but there was a physical altercation at a home that appears to have been converted to a yoga studio or is acting as a yoga studio near the downtown Salt Lake City area.
And there may have been other people in the yoga studio at the time, as many as four people.
But along the way, you may have seen something because it does seem as though this is a very spread out incident somewhere along Wasatch Boulevard. There was a gas station involved. Somehow that got swooped up into this situation. Then there was a grocery store, according to Sergeant Cutler, about 4500 South, that also became part of this situation. And then at some point, it all leads to this yoga studio. Thankfully, it doesn't seem as though there's been any serious injuries, although Amy Kobabe is live at the scene. We're hoping to get a report from her any moment now because we just don't know if that physical altercation did indeed lead to any sort of serious injuries. But it sounds like it's mostly over for now, although it does appear from the background of that live feed that we were getting that there does appear to be still police presence in the area. Best advice at this point is probably just to avoid that area at 7th South, 7th South, 7th East, that area.
And before we went to this breaking news story, we were having a conversation with former attorney for the District of Utah, John Huber, discussing about whether or not he expects criminal charges to come President Trump's way. We're going to continue that conversation probably in the next half an hour. We'll go back to John and discuss that.
Straight ahead, Utah County Attorney David Levitt lost his bid to continue on as Utah's county attorney, and he lost big last night in the primary. We extended an invitation to his team first thing this morning to have him please call the show. And let's go in depth on the reasons he lost and his view and what lies ahead. He's calling us in 4 minutes.
A stranger with a gun came upon two teens taking pictures under a rising full moon. But violence is only the beginning of this story.
Sometimes I thought, there are no miracles. Yeah, there are. And this is a big one.
I'm Amy Donaldson, and I've spent my career talking about how lives are undone by violence. The Letter is a podcast about how lives are remade. Follow The Letter at theletterpodcast.com or wherever you get your podcasts.